going on, everybody? Happy Friday. Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets, powered by FTN, right here on Game Plus Network. Chris Meany here with you, not riding solo. George, I thought we were going to go bring him in right off the hop here. A bit of a surprise guest here on this Friday. We're going to break down everything in the sports world today. We are going to look at Game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals between the Boston Celtics and the Miami Heat. It could be all over for the Heat here tonight. It is all over for the Dallas Mavericks. Oh man, the Warriors got it done again last night. Just too tough to beat. They're just too tough to beat. If it's not Curry, it's Clay. If it's not Clay, it's Curry. It's Draymond. It's Poole. It's Wiggins. It's Looney. It's just too many options for the Golden State Warriors as they punch their ticket to the NBA Finals yet again. I don't think anybody's really taken them off the throne. I don't really feel like that has happened yet, because they went on that run and then Curry got hurt, Clay missed a couple years basically, and now they're just right back there waiting the winner of the Celtics and the Heat matchup tonight. We got some MLB picks, we got some MLB props. We're going to break down game 6 of the NHL series between the Avalanche as well as the St. Louis Blues. That one is now in St. Louis. It is all over for the Flames. We'll get into that in a little bit, but George, let's just bring him on. Is he hanging by? Is the special guest here? Can we do it? Yes? No? Can't hear you. Message? I guess we're going to bring him on in the next block. I really thought we were going to go off the top here, but I guess not. Okay. All good. Second block for the surprise guest here today. So I did have a little bit of an intro off the top that I thought it was going to go, and then I didn't. Anyways, we'll roll through. It is a Friday after all. Last night, that's kind of where I want to start, with just the Flames and the Oilers. The Oilers punch their ticket to the third round. Good on Connor McDavid and company last night. Pretty decent betting day in the NHL, for sure. Let's just start with the Carolina thing. Carolina won. The under continued. Hurricanes perfect on home ice. I don't know what's going on with the home and away splits. If you're following trends, we won't be here with you tomorrow, obviously, but we're going to have some picks in the FTN bet tracker. And going to be on the under. Going to be on the under in that one. The under is hitting every single game so far in this series. We were on that under on Andrei Svechnikov as well for over 2.5 shots. He showed up, finally hit the score sheet for the first time in the series, had a goal. It did come late. I do believe it was an empty netter. And we did mention Vincent Trocheck on this show as well. And he did score the opening goal in the game last night, a shorthanded goal. We had the over in the Flames and the Oilers series or game. I mean, the over is had hit in every game but one, but we were on the Flames, so we didn't get that one. Johnny Hockey consistently hit for us down the stretch. 7 straight games where he had at least 4 shots. We were on that last night. Didn't get the 2 points, but he did find the back of the net, and we were on Leon Draisaitl over 1.5 points. Leon Draisaitl, my goodness, man. 4 assists last night, 17 points in the 5 games in the series. All anybody wants to talk about is Connor McDavid, and rightfully so. McDavid was great, had the overtime winner. He was phenomenal in the playoffs. But Leon Draisaitl, are you kidding me with the run that he was on? He had at least 3 points in every game of the series. I can't believe that we continue to get him plus money considering what he had done in that round. But a couple things here. I mean, I don't want to get into it too much. You guys all know I had futures here on the Flames, and it is what it is. Totally misread that series. And it wasn't so much of, I got a future on Calgary, got a future on Florida. I'm just going to ride with them. I really did think that those two teams would advance. So, I'm going to take my loss. Certainly was not close in the Tampa Bay and Florida series, even though Florida kind of hung around. They scored 3 goals in 4 games. So that really wasn't close, and they got bounced by the 2-time defending Stanley Cup champs. Calgary was really in this series the whole way. Games 2, 4, and 5, the games were tied. Midway through the third period, they just didn't get that goal. Jacob Markstrom, don't want to put too much blame on him, but, he wasn't good. Expected goals saved above average, 9, according to Natural Stat Trick. That's not good. It's not good at all. And he just didn't make the key saves. But last night, how do you call that goal back? Honestly, how do you call it back? It's crazy to me. That was not a kicking motion. I'm confused by the rule. I've seen so many goals have happened this season where it looks like guys are kicking the puck in the net, straight up kicking it. I tweeted one last night from Scott Wheeler of The Athletic. He mentioned it and he showed it and I retweeted it. It was a straight up, it was a Carolina game where the buddy just straight up kicked it in like a soccer goal, kicked it in. And last night, Blake Coleman skating towards the net, getting pushed into Mike Smith. One leg hits Mike Smith's pad, kind of trips over him. He's getting pushed in, and the other skate, he's kind of redirected it. He even kind of set it. You know, he kind of moved his foot and redirected a little bit. There's no kicking motion. It's a gray area. It's a super tough call to make if you're a ref. I thought it was the wrong one. I can't believe that they overturned that with 3 minutes left, 3-4 minutes left in the game, maybe 5 minutes left in the game to go up by a goal. I'm really shocked that they overturned that. It's too bad because we got four goals in just over a minute last night, which was a Stanley Cup record. There was just so much greatness in that series. I wanted to see more games selfishly. It had nothing to do with being on the Flames last night. I just didn't like that call. I'm shocked that they overturned it, considering some of the things that we have seen. And again, like Coleman said, he's just unaware of the rule. Kicking motion, it wasn't a kicking motion. I mean, you're saying that he is the best athlete of all time, in my opinion. Like, it is really tough to skate in the NHL, to skate full tilt, getting pushed into a goalie, trip over it, falling down with one foot, find a way to kick that in. It's just not possible. It's not possible. I think the special guest has restarted his computer. We'll break and we'll bring him in the next block. We went a little long off the top. I did have a couple other things that I wanted to say. It doesn't matter. We got a special guest here on Mean Streets. We appreciate you guys hanging out on Game Plus Network. If you're watching live on our FTN YouTube page, smash the like button. If you have any comments, any questions, you can leave them there. If you're watching on Game Plus, head on over to our FTN YouTube page. We appreciate you subscribing, liking this video. But also, if you do have any questions, you know, like I said, we got some MLB props, NBA props, NHL stuff. If you have any questions heading into the weekend, season-long stuff, you name it, you can leave it there. And I always circle back before the games do get underway and I'll answer those questions. And you can listen to the show on iTunes and Spotify. We'll take a quick break. We got the special guest in here next. Keep her locked. There he is. Old Tino Rodriguez in the house. It is a happy Friday after all. What's going on, sir? Coming in hot with the Mets hat. How you been, man?
It's going.
In the show now.
Yeah, things are good. Yeah, it was weird. Sorry for the delay there. You know, it's been a while since I've worked out the kinks here with my audio issues, but everything's good, man. I could hear you clear as day. I did not expect to come on here. We were just kind of chatting before the show, yeah. And I'm glad we spontaneously decided to do this. I missed that face. I miss George, whose face isn't seen right now, but I miss the both of you, and I'm glad to be back.
George, you might as well just put yourself on too, right? Make it a trio here. Why not? It was just a little bit of a green room action here. Yeah, no, it's awesome that you're able to take the time here to jump on. We have to talk about your Mets. Why not, right? I mean, they're cooking. They have a 7.5-game lead here at the end of May. No Jacob deGrom all year. Scherzer, you know, out for a few weeks, and they're still finding a way to get it done. Got to be pretty impressed with the start so far.
Yeah, you know, as a Mets fan, you want to be optimistic or as optimistic as possible. It is super impressive to see what we've been able to do without Jake for most of the season. Now, no Max. And obviously Tyler McGill, I think, was a huge storyline, and he's been out, and I think he'll be the saving grace in the short term because tough part of the schedule. They have a West Coast road trip coming up. They see the Dodgers, they see the Padres, they'll see your Angels, who are on a little bit of a slip as we talked about. So maybe we get them at a good point. Maybe we get them when they're not hot, but I'm sure Syndergaard will face the Mets and go like 7 shutout innings with 10 Ks against us. So, but no, yeah, it's kind of about treading water right now for the Mets. MVP is in full swing. The Lindor haters are out in full swing as well. And it's good, man. Everyone's playing really well right now, but I think the biggest thing with the Mets is Buck Showalter, and that goes without saying.
Yeah, and that's something that we talked about in the offseason, right? Like, just a lot of additions for the Mets, clearly, but one of the key additions was Buck. Nice manager, experienced manager, and you're seeing it. Yeah, the Halos are going through something for the first time. They're 27-19. They only have 4 wins in their last 10 games, but a little bit of a slide we talked about before you came on. All of a sudden, like, you look up and the Astros are in first in the AL West at 29-16. Just like drives me nuts. But the Angels are still holding down a wild card spot, a big series with the Blue Jays, a 4-game series. Toronto took game 1 last night, and I kind of like them tonight with Alek Manoah on the bump for the Bluebirds. So Angels need to kind of weather the storm, just kind of play 500 ball. It's just all about not getting on those losing streaks, right? It's just like when you lose 2 or 3, you got to just bounce back.
Well, yeah, and that's the biggest thing. So, I mean, that to tie it to the Mets, the key to their success is they just lost back-to-back games for the first time, I think, in the last like 15 possible situations. I know they did it one time early in the year, but I think they had 15 consecutive wins. It was like top three all time following a loss. And listen, that's the name of the game of baseball. And that's what everyone's saying they have to do with all these injuries. I think once you get a lead, man, that's exactly what it is. Just keep pace, win those division games and hope to come out on it. But look, there are a lot of good baseball teams this year. That is one thing I'm seeing. I mean, as much as I think it's top heavy, the wild card race is going to be really exciting. And we talked about this when we were previewing the playoffs. It's really kind of anyone's games. The Twins are division leaders right now. The White Sox are struggling. I don't expect that to be a thing until, you know, at least when they get healthy. The West is loaded in both sides, NL and AL. Look, there's some good baseball teams. The NL East, the Phillies and the Braves are under 500. That probably won't stay that way too. So it's exciting. You know, I wanted to say anyone who said baseball is dead might want to retract it, because there's a lot of excitement around this season, if I do say so myself.
Yeah, there is. And a team that we did talk about quite a bit. You know, I know we both like the White Sox in the AL Central, but we also said that, you know, they're a team that can't find a way to get it done in the playoffs. We had Errol Epstein on here earlier this week, and she just straight out said it, and I thought about you as well. She's like, the one team that I'm just not really confident in that a lot of books and a lot of people like are the White Sox. She's like, yeah, they probably make the playoffs, but I would not expect them to make that run. And that's what you and I had talked about for the past couple of years, is when they get in and they face the Yankees or they face the Astros, it's hard to give them the benefit of the doubt. But the Twins, man, all the offseason moves that they made, I know you talked them up quite a bit as well, as like a decent little future play to win the Central. And yeah, they're playing pretty good ball right now, 27-18. They're scoring some runs. They're going to give some love to them a little bit later on in the show. And then there's George's Red Sox, right? They're 21-23. They're fourth in the AL West. But something that we continue to say on this show, Tino, is just it was still so early and so cold. And now the weather is starting to warm up. Trevor Story, the last time you jumped in on this show, you were in the chat. We talked about Story.
Yeah.
We just straight up said he's going to turn it around. He eventually will. And the guy's got like seven homers in his last seven games. And the Red Sox are the hottest team in baseball right now. George is smiling.
Yeah. And, you know, people keep tying the Red Sox to being a seller at the trade deadline. I think it's a little early for that. And look, I didn't talk about it and how competitive baseball is. The AL East goes without saying too, right? I mean, the Red Sox are the fourth best team in that division. You don't even credit the Orioles, but like, the Rays haven't really figured it out. Maybe this is the year they finally don't put it together, but I wouldn't hold my breath on that. The Blue Jays, I feel like, are still going through some growing pains. We kind of knew that coming in. I still think if they get into the playoffs, they're that exciting team down the stretch that we kind of saw last year that could make some noise. But in regards to the Red Sox, man, it's held. If we can get, you know, hand up, I think I'm the reason Chris Sale is on the 60-day IL list, because the second I said he might win a Cy Young this year, he immediately got hurt. But I know he's throwing around, and, you know, he's due for a minor league rehab start soon. Yes, yeah, so that's big, right? I think Michael Wacha is giving them some life, and they pieced it together. Obviously, the bullpen could be better, but if you're hitting the way they are, that doesn't really matter. But, yeah, I think they just got to get healthy, and you know, Trevor Story, if he stays the way he is, forget it. Yeah, the Tino curse is real, for sure. At least in terms of player props.
Yeah, guys, listen to this. The last 2 weeks, Red Sox lead baseball in home runs, 24 runs, 100, RBI 96, average 310, on base percentage 371, slugging 549. The next closest team are the Dodgers at 498, and they have a WOBA at 396, WRC plus at 162. They are leading every single category over the last couple of weeks. They're putting up double-digit runs like every other day. I think they had a 16 spot last night, and I do believe they've won five or six series in a row. So they are cooking at the right time. Since we have you, we won't keep you too long. NBA, you're a big basketball guy. The Warriors punch our ticket to the finals. Sixth time now in the last 8 years, the Golden State Warriors are in the NBA finals. We have a future, both of us, on the Warriors, and we also have one on the Boston Celtics, dude, and they're heavy home favorites here today. If Boston closes out Miami, we're going to be feeling pretty good in the NBA Finals.
Yeah, I mean, look, obviously, no surprise here. I now work with the NBA, courtesy of NBA Fantasy and NBA Bet, so I am restricted on what I can say. However, this is nothing we haven't said prior to this. I think the thing with Boston and Miami is health, right? I think that's a glaring issue across the postseason kind of this year, but this series in particular, it's the lengthiest injury report I think I've seen in recent playoff memory. I mean, we had like 10 players 2 days ago. So I've said it since the beginning. I think the healthier team comes out of this. And look, I want to see what Jimmy Butler we get tonight, because I think obviously, again, it goes without saying, but he's that team, right? He's the beat to the drum. He did it in the bubble, kind of, you know, the infamous picture of him leaned over, exhausted from trying to carry them. And I think he's going to need that kind of effort tonight, because the Celtics are just healthier right now. And they just, man, look, last game was close in Miami, but they kind of put it together. They just tend to play better as a team. And Miami just needs that individual effort from Jimmy Butler to really keep this as close as it was last game and then maybe take him over the hump.
Yeah, he really is the key. He's not healthy, right? That's kind of it. He definitely doesn't look healthy. So that's kind of the issue there. Anything else before we get you out of here? I know we're in a dynasty league together. Are you making any fantasy football dynasty trades these days?
In that league, I try to. It's pretty tough to do it because I feel like I'm speaking another language to some of those guys sometimes. I think they just expect me to give them my best players and just be done with it. I have not done that yet, and if I do it, I am on record. Meanie will have first dibs. I'm excited for fantasy football. I haven't got my hands dirty in it yet, but I do want to address something. I haven't had a platform to address it. That was not an underthrown ball by Daniel Jones. It was fine. Plenty of quarterbacks throw wounded ducks that go for touchdowns. All right. It didn't have a perfect spiral to it. But, you know, that's how I know football is back, when we overreact. I know we had the Tua practice throw earlier this season that people were overreacting to. It's like, fellas, sorry to tell you, none of it matters until, you know, bullets are flying right, and they're on the field and there's actually people in their faces. The good news for me in that is that Daniel Jones threw that in a non-existing clean pocket. And let's hope that Evan Neal can provide that with Andrew Thomas this year, because I've said it from the beginning, if the Giants could at least protect Daniel Jones, you give the kid a shot. And it looks like that's what the team is trying to do for him. And in regards to Dynasty, it looks like people are going to overreact to Wandale Robinson on that one catch, on that one practice touchdown. So have at it.
I like him. He kind of reminds me of Kadarius Toney. I think he's better suited for a role in the slot. But like as of right now, I mean, Toney and Shepard both kind of there too. But like long term, I suppose I just trust Dable. Like whatever he wants to do. Like if he's going to draft a wide receiver in the third round, they're going to take one. Then I'd imagine he has some plans for him. Right? They can move him all over. He's explosive and stuff. Daily Handle in the house. Welcome back, Tino. Yeah, Tyreek Hill, I thought, took a shot at Mahomes a little bit in his comment. I don't know if you saw it. It was a couple days ago. He said that Tua Tagovailoa has one of the nicest balls he's ever seen. Like, relax. Is that not a shot at Mahomes? I know he's sticking up for his new quarterback, but that he's ever seen? Come on.
Well, from that statement, yes, that's ridiculous. But I will say this. They're two different quarterbacks entirely, right? I never understood why people act like they just forget profiles once they get to the NFL. And I guess people don't follow it close enough, but you know, the people who do kind of just throw things out the window. Mahomes, when he came out, was the Josh Allen body type of a gigantic arm, the Malik Willis body type, gigantic arm. That was without saying, gunslinger, but he had to learn to read defenses and he wasn't the most precise. He's obviously gotten better at those things, but to his strength, to my point, was precision. He was accurate. He doesn't have an arm. Very accurate. For him to give a compliment saying he's good at what he does because that's one of his strengths, like, okay. Like, I'm not going to overreact to that. Like, that is to his strength. I'd imagine a lot of what the Dolphins are going to do is going to be at the line of scrimmage with Waddle and Tyreek, and then they're going to find some opportunities to take shots downfield. But I think everything for the Dolphins is going to be very much in between, you know, inside that 20 to 25 yard play mark, and then they'll take their shots and be selective on play action. But you can win football games by doing that, especially when you decide to. Well, how many running backs do they have? They have six.
Way too many to count.
So if you pound those into the ground and set up play action and be selective with your shots with Tua's accuracy, I don't think he needs the strongest arm. I think he just needs to be precise with it. So for him to give a compliment to say Tua can throw a nice ball, he probably should. He got taken top five in the NFL draft for that reason. So
yeah,
that's my take on that.
Yeah. I still think Herbert is the better quarterback from that draft. Yeah. But nonetheless, all right, dude, we appreciate you. I guess you can't say who you think will win the NBA championship. You're not allowed to say that. I think I know what you're thinking though, but we'll let you out of here on that. Appreciate you, dude. Keep killing it over at NBA, and we'll chop it up again soon, brother. Good luck to your Mets this weekend against the Phillies. We'll say goodbye to Tino. We got lots of picks here on Mean Streets. Keep real hooked. Welcome back in here, Mean Streets Live on Game Plus Network. We're going to switch gears, talk a little hockey here tonight. I got some picks in the next segment here, George. We're going to start in a few minutes to just the prize picks play of the day. But for Colorado and St. Louis here tonight, obviously a must-win situation for the Blues here, checking in at plus 155. The odds have changed actually quite a bit. You can get Colorado now around minus 168, minus 169. I like the Avs here tonight. I think that they close it out against St. Louis, and I'm willing to take them on the puck line as well at plus 145. So I think that they get it done here tonight. I think they win probably an empty net goal. I would love to see this series get extended, and I think all the pressure is certainly on Colorado. The Blues have played pretty good over the past couple of games. They were really blown out in game one, and then they were blown out in game four. But for the most part, it's been pretty tight, especially at 5-5. They haven't been able to get the goaltending. Huso is certainly key for them to extend this series, but I just think the Avs, I just don't think they're going to mess around tonight. I think they know that this second round has been their kryptonite. They don't want to have this go to seven. It's easy for me to say, like, everybody thinks like that. Every team wants to win, of course. They want to win badly. They want to close it out. The fourth one is always the toughest one to capture and be able to close that one out. But ultimately, I do like, I love the over daily handle. The over is probably the best play here. It's been the best play. It's hitting three straight games. And, you know, all these trends have just been happening here. And we've kind of hit them overall. We've been on the over here in all the games. Like I said, three straight here, the over is hit. We've been on the under in every game in the Carolina and New York series. That's five straight have hit there. We're on the over in all the Flames and Oilers games as well. And everyone hit but one. And unfortunately, we got robbed for more games of the Battle of Alberta from that nonsense callback last night. I'm still just absolutely just mind-boggled with that call. I really am. Like, out of all the things I've seen this year, and that has been called a goal more times than not. It's not a distinct kicking motion. Get it right. Figure it out. But I do like the over here tonight in this series. And again, tomorrow. So we won't be with you tomorrow. We're going to have bets in the FTM bet tracker. Use the promo code MEANY, NHL, Mean Street. Save yourself a little bit of cash. We're cooking in the MLB as well. Lots of people giving some really good picks over at FTN MLB picks. The betting package, as Daily Handle knows, you get all the picks from everybody across all the sports, projections, tools, access to the Discord channel as well. I'm just going to be on the under again in that Carolina and New York series. I'm just going to continue to follow the trend in that series. Both goalies are playing pretty good. There's not a lot of offense at 5-5. And Carolina's just not scoring on the road. That's it. This is what we talked about yesterday, is a team that's been perfect on home ice, averaging four goals per game on home ice, and then just over one on the road. And you know, they're not really giving up a whole lot on the road, more so obviously away from Carolina. But really, the Rangers are not doing a whole lot offensively at 5-5 in this series as well. So that's it. Tomorrow, I'm going to side with Carolina. My original pick was Hurricanes in six. 1.5 on the series spread. No point in hedging that out if you're on that as well. I think we just ride that out, Carolina. At some point, this team is going to win a game on the road. They really are. They were the best road team in the NHL in the East. Nobody had more wins than them on the road at 25. They are eventually going to win one on the road, and they will have to if they want to raise the cup. And that is the only future we have left in the NHL. We were on the Panthers. We were on the Flames. We were on the Hurricanes from November at 10-1. I still do like them to get it done, but man, they're going to be in tough if they find a way to get past the Rangers, which I do believe they will. They will be in tough against Tampa Bay, who had their number last year as well when these two teams met up. It was the Bolts who found a way to get by Carolina. But as for tonight, I like Colorado to close this out. I like them on the puck line, and I like the over. The Prize Picks play of the day is, of course, Nathan MacKinnon over 4.5 shots. You can get that over at prizepicks.com. Use the promo code FTN. They'll match your first deposit 100% all the way up to $100. MacKinnon had six shots in his last game. He had four in game four. He's had at least five shots in six of his nine games here in the playoffs. He was very quiet in the first couple games of this series, and then he broke out in the last game. He had a hat trick, and he just really overtook the game. Of course, the Blues came back down 3 goals, and then McKinnon had that beautiful end-to-end goal, and then also the Blues came back yet again to force overtime. But Nathan McKinnon, I'm going to take this one over 4.5 shots, and you can pair that up over at prizepicks.com with the goal in the first 8 minutes of this game. So that's the way that I would go. I got more props in the next segment, but McKinnon does lead the Avs with 37 shot attempts and 23 shots on goal in this series. The last couple games have been more like himself. We saw him hit consistently in the first series, not so much in the first couple games of this series, but he's really, I think he's back. The shot attempts have certainly been there in every game, just missing the net. In the last game, he did have 8 shot attempts and he had 6 shots on goal. So we're on the over. Check out prizepicks.com. We have a free pick tracker over at ftndaily.com. I mentioned the promo code FTN, but you can mix and match across all the sports. That's the best thing about tonight, which is one game on the ice. You know, you can't really parlay these shot props over at DraftKings, over at FanDuel, Caesars, wherever it is that you place your bets, but you can over at PrizePicks as long as you have one representative of each team. So I would go with David Perron if you wanted, if you could find him at 2.5. That would be the blue that I would look at here tonight. Maybe Vladimir Tarasenko at 2.5. I think Ryan O'Reilly, maybe we need to stay away from him. I'll bet him personally, but I didn't want to give you guys that bet because he hasn't hit over the past couple games, and the shot attempts really haven't been there either. I think if you're picking somebody from the Blues, it would be David Perron. But again, you can pick a bunch of apps, just get one blue in there. Maybe it's Huso saves, or maybe it's a first goal in the first 8 minutes of the contest tonight. We'll take a quick break, and we will dive into some more NHL props here on Mean Streets. Welcome back in. Let's continue the NHL talk here, and we'll dive into some more props here for this evening. I think you can take all of these as singles. So you guys know that I'm on Nathan McKinnon, of course, the 4.5 shots around -125. I just think a better price over at Prize Picks. If you put that into with somebody else, you can get 2-1 here, which you probably won't get because you can't parlay these shot props. You'd have to take tomorrow Andrei Svechnikov if you can find him. I would pair McKinnon up with Svechnikov, but I also like him to have an assist and to have 2 points here tonight. So he has an assist for them in the last 5 games. And for him, I mean, he's fresh off the 4-point night and the 3 goals that he had in the last game. So I have no problem going back to him at +165. I believe we had +145 in the last game because it was at home. But again, I think we see some goals here tonight. Huso hasn't looked good between the pipes. And I mean, McKinnon just plays so much, and the fact that he's coming off that big game, I mean, why not go back to him? He's got 8 goals and 13 points in 9 games here, and at least 1 point in 8 of the 9 games in the playoffs. So he's hitting the score sheet. And like I said, I think we see the Avs win this game. It could be tight towards the third period. And if the Avs get up by a goal or two, the Blues are going to pull the goalie. My goodness. Yeah, they'll pull the goalie. They have an empty net here. So, I mean, there's going to be potentially an opportunity for Nathan McKinnon to get that empty net goal. But I do believe he has the big night again today at +165. We'll take the over 1.5 points. Mikko Rantanen as well for an assist at -118. He can get that over at FanDuel at +365 as well. He's got 10 assists in 9 games here in the playoffs. And he's got 5 assists in 5 games here in this series against the Blues. Artturi Lehkonen was placed on the top line with Nathan McKinnon. They move Rantanen off that top line. Rantanen's a pass-first guy. That's why I love the assist. But there's an opportunity here for Artturi Lehkonen to hit the score sheet. He set up Nathan McKinnon one of those 3 goals that he had in Game 5. So he's on that top line with Nate and with Gabriel Landeskog. So I think there's an opportunity for him to hit the score sheet again. Talked about him a little bit yesterday with Nick Martin. Just love this guy's game. 5-on-5 play is so strong. He's a very smart hockey player. He's great on the forecheck. He's playing in all situations in Colorado. He was good for Montreal in their cup run last year as well. And, you know, again, he was playing like really good 5-on-5 play over the past couple seasons. But Artturi Lehkonen +102 for a point here tonight. He did have the point in the last game, as I mentioned. I'm also considering like 0.25 or 0.5 units on him to have an assist. You can get that at +240 for Artturi Lehkonen to have an assist. If he's playing with Nathan McKinnon tonight, I really like that for him to have an assist. And then I mentioned David Perron is the one blue that I'm kind of confident in. And not kind of, I am confident. I'm betting this one myself. There's not a lot of blues that I am totally confident in. I like Colton Parayko, but I couldn't find him anywhere. Maybe he'll surface a little bit later on. At PrizePicks, he's at 2, so you need 3 shots. But DraftKings has been hanging 1.5 for Colton Parayko. I believe he's hit in 4 of the last 5. He leads the Blues in ice time overall. So those are the 2 blues that I would go to. But it is David Perron who leads the team in shot attempts in this series with 27. And he's only cleared 2.5 in 2 of the past 4 games. But the one game he didn't, he was stuck on 2. And he's been a little bit better on home ice than on the road. You know, you get those matchups that you want on home ice. So that is it. I think I hit on all of them, George. Just a little recap if you want to bring that up one more time. I believe I did hit on all the props. I didn't. It was Brendan Saad. I knew there was one more that I was missing there. Just looking at my notes as I was reading this off. Brendan Saad, a little much at 160, 1.5 shots. But if you are looking for, you know, this one I feel pretty confident in, actually, to be honest. Saad has hit in 4 straight games. He's on that top line. He's a really good 5-on-5 player. And I think you could parlay this one with, you know, either Svechnikov tomorrow or maybe a couple MLB props that I'll give you here in the next segment. So wanted to just bring him to your attention. Brendan Saad, little juiced for a single play at -160, but 2 shots is something that he's done pretty consistently in this series against his former team in Colorado. A break, and we got some MLB props in here next. Welcome back in Mean Streets Live on Game Plus Network. A lot of action around the diamond, tons of action, and a lot of picks over at FTNBets.com. I've been kind of shying away from some of the MLB picks, just giving you one or two here and there, but we're starting to gain some steam over at FTN Bets. We're on the positive side in terms of units. We have several guys over there at FTNBets.com in double digits when it comes to MLB units, and we are getting into what I call, like, we have a really good sample now. Like, the first month is always a bit of a crapshoot in Major League Baseball. I don't even really start to dive into the statistics until we're, like, to week 5 and 6. And we have a really large sample of which teams hit righties, which teams can't hit righties, lefties, same deal, which teams strike out the most against southpaws. All those little statistics. You have so many outliers in the first month of the season and in just the month of baseball in general, any month, whatever it is. I mean, the best players in baseball struggle and have weak months, so it's hard to take too much stock into the opening month. We'll get to the Red Sox in a little bit, but that's an example, right? This team wasn't hitting, they weren't scoring any runs, they were losing a lot of ball games. The bullpen is still atrocious, but now they're scoring runs left, right, and center. I've talked so much about this team over the past couple weeks, and as we get into the picks, as you'll see here, I am riding them again today against the Baltimore Orioles. I like their team total. It's at 5.5. It's a little high, but as I said with Tino, over the past couple of weeks, they lead baseball in home runs with 24, runs with 100, RBI 96, their slash line leading every single category here. 310, 371, 549 slug, a 396 WOBA, and a 162 WRC+. So yes, I like the Boston Red Sox today. They have one of the highest team implied totals. They're going to see pitches from Kyle Bradish, who I do like. A nice little rookie. He's got some upside. He certainly has some swing and miss in his games, but he's allowed a home run in every single start so far this season. 6 homers total. He's allowed 28 hits, 17 runs, and he's only had 26 innings under his belt so far. Righties are really torching him. They're slashing 357, 413, 714. There are three hitters inside the top 10 in hits against right-handed pitching this season: Xander Bogaerts, JD Martinez, and Rafael Devers. These guys are, I don't want to say automatic against righties, but they're pretty good options against righties. JD Martinez, over the course of his career, is a guy that usually rolled against lefties. But of course, Rafael Devers is a guy that you always need to have on your radar when a righty is on the bump. So I think he's probably the safest home run call for the Red Sox. That's not the one I'm going to go with. I'll save it in a little bit. But as you saw there on the board, Shane Bieber as well. Over 6.5 strikeouts. Shane Bieber, you know, it's been hot and cold so far for him this season, but 6.5 strikeouts is something that I do believe that he could get done. He's done it in back-to-back starts here. Now his last start came against the Detroit Tigers, who he'll get tonight. He just faced them 7 innings, and he had 10 punchouts there. He has actually cleared this number in 4 of his last 6 starts. He actually had a start against the Blue Jays where he got rocked and he didn't have any strikeouts. That was an outlier. The velocity's down a little bit, but he still has a lot of swing and miss in his game. And then you saw the Astros there, Justin Verlander on the bump against the Seattle Mariners. So I like the over 4.5, and I like the run line here for Houston. Of course, it's not just because Justin Verlander is on the bump, but they go into Seattle as heavy favorites here. That's why you got to take them on the run line to get a little bit of value there. But overall, this is about Chris Flexen, who had a really good season last year, especially at home, but he's a contact guy. He's a bit of a fly ball guy as well. And I just feel like he was really, really lucky last season. Like, it was a good year from him, but overall, I just didn't really buy it. And the struggles have been, they've been on display all year, really. So the Astros, we know about them. They make a lot of contact. They don't strike out. And I am going to take them tonight. Oh, yeah, Luis Arraez in there as well. Plus 105 to score a run. I've kind of been on this one over the past couple of games. So I'm going to see pitches from Brad Keller. Brad Keller is a big contact guy. Yeah, he gives up a lot of contact. I got it here, courtesy of Fangraphs. Of course, Fangraphs is an amazing website to kind of look into some of the splits. For Brad Keller, he does keep the ball on the ground 51% of the time. And that gets him out of danger, even though he has allowed 5 homers and 8 starts. But he's allowed 40 hits in 50 innings here. 40 hits in 50 innings. He allowed 5 in his last start against the very same Twins he's going to see tonight. He allowed 4 in runs. He walked 3 batters. He allowed 8 hits in his start before that against the White Sox. 9 hits against Texas. So it's over 20 hits here in his last 3 outings in just about 19 innings overall. Luis Arraez, man, this guy is, he's not a big power hitter. He enters on a 6-game hit streak. He's plus money for 2 singles, 2 total bases. But I just feel like with him getting on base, the fact that he has a 6-game hit streak and 4 of those games with at least 2 hits, he's hitting .347 on the season. Against righties, he's got a .387 average. So this is a good matchup for him to make some contact. And then also guys behind him that have been really good against righties as well. We've talked about Max Kepler this week on this show. We had him to go yard and over 1.5 total bases, and he had a grand slam. He's going to hit in that 5 spot. You got Carlos Correa in the 3 spot, and then Jorge Polanco in that 4 spot. So I like some of these hitters that are hitting behind Arraez in that 2 spot. He's just a really good hitter. Again, not a lot of power, finding a way to get on base, mostly singles, and then, you know, an opportunity potentially to drive him in after that. The hammer in the house, Story RBI plus 155. Is this guy sneaking into what we have going on here? The hammer? Let's bring it up, George. Let's bring it up. Dude, you're going to like this one. It's all about Trevor Story. Look at this. We are on the same page. I have been all over this run. Trevor Story has been fantastic, as you see. Over the last 7 games, he's got 7 homers, 21 RBI, and 11 runs. Over 1.5 total bases, plus 125, plus 155 for an RBI, plus 100 for a run, plus 390 for a home run. This is heat check time. Every time I put Story in the FTM bet tracker, it's really what I say, heat check time. This guy is absolutely on fire. It was an awful 6 weeks to start the season. But look at those numbers in the bottom right. I mentioned the Red Sox leading baseball in home runs, RBI, WOBA, WRC+, average on base percentage, OPS, slug, absolutely everything. A large part of that reason is Trevor Story. But guys are getting on base in front of him. Just mentioned earlier, the 3 Sox are inside the top 10 in hits against right-handed pitching. Xander's going to get on base. JD's getting on base. Rafael Devers getting on base. Opportunity for Trevor Story to, you know, cash in and, you know, get some RBIs here. So sorry, man, had no idea, but love that we're on the same page. Yeah, man, we really are on the same page here when it comes to Trevor Story. I'm actually shocked that we're getting the plus money on total bases. He is a guy for the course of his career that's a little bit better against southpaws. There's no question, but it's hard to ignore the run that he's on. It is a bit of a heat check. And also what I mentioned with Bradish, he's allowed a home run in every single start. Kind of got reverse splits here to start the season or start his MLB career. Righties are kind of torching him, right? All 6 home runs he's allowed have been to right-handed bats. So let's see if Trevor Story can keep it up. I do like Rafael Devers over 1.5 total bases, but he's bat at minus 130, a little bit juiced. And then for him to hit a home run is plus 290. But let's just ride this out with Trevor Story. Let's see if we can continue here. And then the Bluebirds on the previous board. Alek Manoah on the bump. So the Jays have one of their better pitchers on the hill that I do like. The Angels are kind of going through something here offensively. And I do believe they have the edge in the pitching matchup. So minus 112 for the Jays to win on the money line. And that is it for your MLB. We're going to break down game 6 of the series between the Celtics and the Heat in here next. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back in one final time here. It is game six between the Boston Celtics and the Miami Heat. We have the Celtics here checking in as massive, massive home favorites here today. And I do believe that they get it done, right? It's, I mean, minus 400. We're not going to get involved with that. Of course, we've talked so much. You know, you're sick of me talking about our 40-1 NBA future on the Boston Celtics. We have that in the FTM bet tracker, courtesy of our guy, Frank Brank, who came in and we talked a lot about the Celtics after the NBA trade deadline. This team is just loaded defensively. They're so strong. And I do believe that they'll find a way to get it done here tonight against the Heat. There's just too much going on with Miami. There's just too many injuries. Jimmy Butler is not himself. And I just feel like Boston closes it out here tonight. And it should be a really, really good series. I know I'm discounting Miami, but if we do get Boston and Golden State, it's kind of what I thought a few years ago when the Celtics were kind of, you know, when they're on the rise, when Tatum and Brown were just young. Who's the coach? Was it Stevens? I forget now. And then I just felt like they were so close and the Warriors were so awesome. I just felt like we would eventually get it. And now I think we are going to get it. And I don't believe those teams have met up in the finals since, like, I think the 60s. I think I saw that stat last night, but the Boston Celtics here tonight on home court to get it done. I do have some props here. We didn't get this one on the as a board, but we don't really need it. So over at Bet365, we do have a little bit of a same game parlay here. They're giving up free same game parlay bets throughout the entire postseason. Keep an eye on it. You get the notification if you're north of the border. I even think those in the Jersey area can get the free bets as well. But I had a notification came in this morning, free same game parlay bet here for Miami and Boston. I got one that's 5-1. I got Jason Tatum over 6.5 rebounds here today. So it's really about Miami and all the bricks, right? They're just not scoring any points. If Miami's going to win, they're going to need a big game from Bam. I think that's the guy, right? If Bam goes off, potentially they can get a W here. But for Tatum, I mean, the rebounds in the series has been there. I mean, 12 rebounds in the last game, 8 before that. He had 8 in game 1, so he's cleared this number, 6.5 in 3 of his past 5 games, or 3 of the 5 in this series. And even in the other series against Milwaukee, he had cleared this number twice. He had 1 with 6 in the final game against the Bucks, but before that he had 9. He had a 13-game rebound in there as well. So I am in on Jason Tatum here to continue to have success on the boards. I even think Al Horford at 8.5 rebounds is also in play. This is another guy who's just racking up rebounds as Miami's just not jacking up any shots. That's it. It's kind of that simple. Horford had 7 in the last game. He didn't get there, but he had 13 in the game before that. And he had 14 in the game before that one. So he's averaging 9.3 rebounds per game. 8.5 is a lot to ask for, but he averaged 10.4 rebounds per game in the Milwaukee series as well. He had 10 rebounds, at least 10 in every game but 2 in that 7-game series. And the 2 games that he didn't, he had 8. So the first series against Brooklyn, not so much. There was a rebound game, or there was a game that he had 15 boards. He pulled down 15 boards, I think, in the opening game against the Nets. But for the most part, this guy has been hitting pretty consistently. So I'm putting him into the same game parlay as well. And then I took the low, like a coward, like a sucker. But that's kind of one thing that I really do like about these same game parlays over at Bet365. Yeah, everybody wants to hit a 20-1 parlay, an 18-1 parlay, 15-1. It's cool. It's great. I think a lot of these you can take as singles. Take Jason Tatum. He's plus money over 6.5 boards. You can take Al Horford over 8.5 boards. I think he's minus 130, but I don't mind that as a single. But you can't take the low as a single on Tatum points or Robert Williams points. You're just not going to get good odds. But Jason Tatum, you can take the O, or the low on over points at 21.5. We know how much of a beast he is, but that is really low. Like the 21.5, I think that he can get there. In this series, he's averaging 23.8 points. In fact, he has hit the low in every game but one. He had the one outlier game where he was brutal from the floor. He was 3-for-14. He had 10 points. In the last game, he had 22. He had 31 in the game before that. And the first two games of the series, he had 29 and 27. So we're just asking him to hit the low, which is 21.5. And then Robert Williams is at 4.5 points, like really low for Robert Williams at 4.5 points. But one thing I've noticed is the splits, you know, for him in the playoffs, of course, he's battling through an injury, missed some time, but he has cleared in the last 3 home games, and he has games here with 12 points and 18 points. So the low on Robert Williams is 4.5. 4.5 is okay. I actually think he probably gets double-digit points here today, so I think he can take the overall point prop for him as well. That is it for me. Right on time. I think the Avs, just to recap, Avs win tonight. I say 5-3. 5-3 Avs win. Empty net goal, Arturi Lehkonen. We're going to get hopefully the over on the shot props for Nathan McKinnon at 4.5. The over 1.5 points. Tomorrow, Carolina closes it out. And the under, I see a 3-2 final. I'll have to sweat that one out. 3-2 final, but I do believe it'll go to overtime. Andrei Svechnikov over 2.5 shots. He's cleared now in 3 straight games for the Hurricanes. And then that would mean that we're on to round 3 in the Stanley Cup Finals. Good luck on the ice, around the diamond, on the hard court, and we will see you tomorrow. Cheers.